Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much that we get to be here together as a family. God, that you have united us, men and women, as your children, into this eternal family. Thank you so very much that we get to be a part of this. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your truth, and that you'd convict our hearts, and that you'd give us wisdom to be able to follow in your footsteps better. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last couple of years, there have been some pretty big controversies that have gone on that I'm sure many of you have been involved in. And the first one that I remember was the dress. Do you guys remember the dress? Will you show us the dress? Who here sees white and gold? Can you raise your hand? Okay, we have one person raising them twice. So you really see white and gold. Okay, if we have some people see white and gold. Who sees blue and black? Okay. Awesome. Okay, so here's the deal. Some people see white and gold, and some people see blue and black, which means some people are deceived by their eyes. Okay, now I'm going to play a video clip. You don't need to pay attention to the video. We're listening to the sound. Do you hear Yanny or do you hear Laurel? Will you play that for us?
Laurel.
All right, what do you hear? Do you hear Yanny or Laurel? Raise your hand if you hear Yanny. Are there some people hear Yanny? Same people that saw blue and white, probably. And who hears Laurel? Okay. Now the percentages here are a little bit different than they are in the wider world. I think it's probably because we're a little bit more advanced. But it's close to half and half that hear Yanny versus Laurel. Yanny is higher pitch notes. Laurel is lower pitch notes. And so it just kind of, you know, the way that your brain functions in there. Now, here's the deal. Our eyes can deceive us. Our ears can deceive us. And our taste buds can deceive us. There are loads of taste tests, like blind taste tests that happen all the time. There was this one that happened where they got all these wine experts together and they put in front of them two glasses. One was a glass of white wine and one was a glass of white wine with a couple drops of red food coloring in it. And the wine experts described the white wine as you would a white wine and described the red wine, the white wine that was colored red, as they would describe a red wine. But it's the exact same wine, same flavor, same taste, but they were deceived by their eyes and by their taste buds. Now this is crazy. They did the test again with people under an MRI, and they were measuring kind of their brain, like what's going on in their brain. What they found that is their brain like preempted their taste buds, so they were really deceived by their brain. It was what they expected to taste, they tasted. And what they expected to taste, their brain began to function for that. It's crazy. We are very easily deceived. But it's not just our eyes, it's not just our ears, it's not just our taste buds, our heart deceives us. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick, who can understand it?" Can anyone relate to that? You've ever been deceived by your heart, right? Anyone? No one? Okay, some people have. You just don't want to raise that up high. That's okay. I've been deceived by my heart many times. The thing is we as humans are pretty easily deceived. There have been a number of studies done online and kind of the deception that happens in there. A lady named Pamela Meyer, she wrote a book called Lie Spotting, and she says this: in all of the aggregated studies, great word, by the way, A+ for that. And all the aggregated studies about how well we detect lies versus truths, we have never fared better than 57% accuracy. The largest review encompassing results from 206 academic studies involved 24,000 individual judgments of lies and truths found our mean performance to be 54%. We are about as good as flipping a coin. So when we are actively trying to detect a lie, you might as well just flip a coin. Because that's about how good we are typically on average as humans. Now, when we're not trying to just detect deception, she said this: separate studies led by deception researchers, Bella DiPaolo, found that the overwhelming majority, 75 to 82% of lies went undetected. So when people weren't trying actively to detect lies, 75 to 80% of all lies went undetected. We are not very good at rooting out deception. as human beings. Like, it's just not the way that we're typically wired. There's a lot of science behind it. Some people think it has to do with the fact that we need to make quick decisions early on. I don't know. Nonetheless, I think it's fair to say we're not very good at this. Which is why it's so important that Jesus says what he does here in Matthew. Go ahead and grab your Bibles. If you don't have one, you can grab one of the Matthew books. It should be on a chair beside you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he is giving like his inaugural address on what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And he's closing it down, and he says this. He says, beware, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear good fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Beware. This first word is so important. It's the Greek word prosecheta, and it means to take care, to pay attention, or to beware. Here's why this is so important. Because most of the time, we walk around unaware. Right? We're just constantly taking in information all the time. And we're not even evaluating it. We're not even filtering it. We're not even judging to see, is this good? Is this helpful? Is this beneficial? Or is this detrimental? Is this harmful? Is this sinful? Are these lies? We're not even paying attention. And when we don't pay attention, we're 75 to 82% likely to not understand that it's deception, that it's lies, that it's not true. Paul was traveling around. He was the very first church planting missionary. He wrote a number of the books in the New Testament. He was traveling around planting churches in Macedonia, and he went up to Philippi, and he planted a church there, and then went down to Thessalonica, and then he went to Berea. And in Berea, he had this unique experience with the Bereans. It says this, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It says, now these Jews, the ones in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And it says why they were more noble. They were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica because they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Here's why they were noble. The Spirit of God, written through Luke, says these guys were more noble because when they heard the gospel that Paul preached, that was given to him by Jesus himself, they said, sounds good. Let me make sure. And they went to the Hebrew scriptures, or what we would call the Old Testament, and they made sure. Is this true? Is this accurate? Every time Paul would preach and would preach the gospel, they said, great, hang on a second, let's make sure. And then they would study the Hebrew scriptures to make sure. Sorry, I think let me get this. This. Is this better? Better. Better. One, two. No. A little bit better. Maybe the jacket. Maybe I take off the jacket. We good. Watch out now. Slow down. Slow down. A little wardrobe change. Wow. So we were talking about Berea, right? The Spirit of God said they were more noble because they tested what Paul had to say. And the Spirit of God knows that what Paul has to say is true because it was given to him by Jesus. And yet they were more noble because they actually tested it. There has been a number of oral Jewish teachings that were passed down in the Talmud and the Mishnah. And this comes from the Mishnah. It says this. There are four types among those who sit in the presence of sages. The sponge, the funnel, the strainer, and the sifter. The sponge who soaks up everything. The funnel who takes in at one end and lets it out at the other. The strainer who lets out the wine and retains the lees. The sifter who removes the coarse meal and collects the fine flour. Here's what they're saying. There are four types of way that you can listen to teaching. You can either be a sponge and take every single thing you hear and say it's gospel truth. It's the way that it should be. It's fact. Everything that you hear, just it's good. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Or you can be like a strainer. Goes in one ear and goes out the other. You don't receive anything. You're not really there. You're not really paying attention. Or you could be like the, what's the next one? The strainer. Thank you. The strainer. And what the strainer does is it takes the bad and it leaves the good. So you're listening to everything and you're just only receiving what's bad and you're getting rid of what's good. Or you can be a sifter. A sifter sifts out the bad and retains the good. And I think this is what Jesus and Paul in the book of Acts and many others throughout scripture are telling us to do and telling us to be. They're telling us to pay attention to what we're listening to and to sift it. Take the good and leave the bad. Do we have a handout? You got that for me? Thanks, Joel. Appreciate that. Joel Kaufman, everyone. Here we go. I feel like it's got a little bit lower tone. Makes me sound a little more manly. I like this. So in the book of Acts, Paul. So here's what it tells us to do. Be a sifter. And here's what I would say to you. Sift the things that I tell you. Don't just take everything that I say as truth. You need to test it with scripture like they did in the book of Acts, and they were considered more noble. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus goes on to say this. He says, behold, this is to his disciples, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware, pay attention. There are people out there who are going to try and deceive you. Be wise as serpents, but be innocent as doves. Here's what Jesus is saying, basically three things. One, false prophets or false teachers exist. Two, we are extremely susceptible. We're not good at detecting lies. We've got to pay attention. And then three, the results have been devastating. If you look throughout the history of humanity, all the tragedies and travesties that have happened because people have followed deceptive teachers, false prophets, false teachers. I think about how many thousands of people were deceived and went into the Crusades and did all kind of atrocities. I think about the Holocaust. How many Christians, how many thousands, maybe millions of Christians followed Hitler, were deceived by Hitler, did all kind of awful things. There are false teachers. And we are easily deceived. So we've got to be careful. We've got to pay attention. I think about all the people that have been involved in cults. In fact, in the last 30 to 40 years, there have been 2.5 million Americans that have been involved in cults. And there's all kind of crazy stuff that goes on in cults. All the mass suicides that have happened. There are a lot of false teachers, and we have got to be careful. We've got to pay attention. We've got to beware. Now, what is a false teacher? What is a false prophet? In Jesus's day, in the history of Judaism, if you could show me that chart, you had God on top, and then you had God's people down below. You can see it really well. There it is, right there. And what happened in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant is God would talk to the people through prophets, and the people would interact with God through priests. Right? The people would interact with God through priests, and God would communicate with them through prophets. And so a prophet is someone who is speaking for God. Now, in our day and age, prophets don't function quite the same as they did in the Old Testament. When Jesus is saying, beware of false prophets, he's also including false teachers. People that are like you need to be careful of me because I could be a false prophet. I could be a false teacher. You need to beware. You need to be careful. They exist. They're out there. They're people who are claiming to speak for God. And here's how Peter talks about them. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. He says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. There have been so many religious leaders that were all about greed, financial gain, were all about power, were all about sensuality and sexuality, but they were deceptive. They were hiding. They didn't come in that way, right? They came in like people wearing sheep's clothing, right? They came in amongst the flock looking like a sheep, looking like someone who's following Jesus. They sounded good at first. They looked good at first. But inwardly, they were ravenous wolves. We get very easily deceived by looks, by stature, by charisma, and many other things. I've seen a number of videos where they're showing how people that are better looking, according to society's arbitrary standard, are more likely to get jobs than other people. Not because they're better at jobs, but somehow, subconsciously, the interviewers think that they will be because we're so easily deceived. And what Jesus is saying is the false teachers, the false prophets will look good at the onset. You know, when Hitler was rising to power, he didn't start by talking about the final solution. He was talking about the glory of Germany, about getting back what Germany had lost, getting their power. He was talking about nationalism. He gathered people around them talking about the things that they liked, that they wanted to hear. And after they began to follow him, then his true colors began to show. He came in like a wolf in sheep's clothing. But what Jesus says is there will be evidence. Look at their fruit. And what is their fruit? It's what they produce. And what do they produce? It's their character and it's their teachings. What they produce will reveal. Ultimately, at some point, it will come out. Things will begin to show. You will begin to see the things that reveal their true heart, their true character, their true nature. And Jesus says, you've got to be careful. You've got to pay attention. And in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has a number of criteria when it comes to fruit, when it comes to their character, when it comes to their teaching. Do they realize their own need of grace? It's how Jesus begins with the Beatitudes, right? Grace, the grace of God as a gift for those who have nothing to offer. Do they take care of the poor and the marginalized, the powerless and the oppressed? Do they hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are they pure in heart? Do they strive? Do they strive to make peace with everyone? Are they salt that hasn't lost its taste? Are they light of the world? Right? Jesus gives all these examples in Matthew chapter 5. He goes on. Do they revere the full counsel of Scripture? Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but that would have been the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament. He said, no, I came to fulfill it. Jesus had a high view of the scriptures. Do these people that you're listening to, that you're allowing into your mind and into your heart, do they revere the full counsel of scripture? Or do they take bits and pieces out to suit their own goals? There's a movement right now by a bunch of people trying to get rid of the Old Testament. This was Jesus's Bible, people. He revered the scriptures. Do they consult the whole counsel of scripture or do they not? Do they cultivate anger? And do they store up bitterness or are they quick to forgive? Do they see others as image bearers of God, infinitely valuable and worthy of love? Or do they cultivate lust in their heart and objectify people? Do they keep their word? Do they love their enemies? Are they about building up their own kingdom? Are they about spreading out their own borders? Or are they about God's kingdom? Are they about accomplishing God's will? Do they flaunt their gifts and their talents and do goods in front of other people so they get glorified and get applause from other people? Or do they humbly do what is right, always giving God the glory? Are they judgmental? Or do they see their own sin first and view their own sin as worse? This is what Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. When you're listening to people, and in the world of podcasts, when you can't really see a person's life, you only hear what they have to say, you've got to be extra careful. You've got to be extra careful. Do these women, do these men live according to the way of Jesus? Or do they just say things that sound good? Or do they just look good at the onset, but underneath, they're deceptive? We've got to be careful because we are easily deceived. There's a guy named Tim Challis, and he's a writer, and he does a bunch of book reviews, and he has some pretty good things to say. And I came across a blog of his, and he what he did was he boiled down what the New Testament has to say about false prophets, and he put them in seven different categories. And here are seven different categories of false teachers that the scripture talks about. The first one he called the heretic. In Jude 1:3, it says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." To contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Right? What Jesus delivered was once for all. In Galatians 1:8 through 9, Paul says it like this. "But even we," so Paul or someone else, Paul's saying, "if I come to you later on, if we or even an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now we say again, if anyone is preaching you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Right? Jesus came and he gave us the gospel. And if someone presents something contrary to that, even if they say it came from an angel, you need to be careful because that is not the gospel. I don't know if you guys know how Mormonism came about. A guy named Joseph Smith said he had an encounter with an angel who gave him golden tablets that contradict much of the scriptures. Paul said, even if an angel comes to you, don't listen. Stick with the gospel that you know that was given to us by Jesus himself. The second one is the swindler. 1 Timothy 6:3-5, it says, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit," that's pride, "and has an unhealthy craving for controversy, imagining that godliness is a means of gain." How many different people in the ministry have been revealed they were just greedy? They were just getting money for themselves. They did not care about the gospel. They didn't care about people. What they wanted was wealth. The third one, I like to call the mathematician. Revelation 22:18-19 says this, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from these words of this book, this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book." If you add to or subtract from the Bible, you're a false teacher. Jehovah's Witnesses have added to the Bible, putting their book on par with Scripture, saying it's just as authoritative. Muslims, in the same way, the Quran, it's just as authoritative. And what you find is there are contradictions between the two. And what John says in Revelation is you can't add to this. Sure, you can write things about it. We have loads of Christian books in our society, and those are good, but we don't place them on the same level of authority as Scripture. Scripture is the divine authoritative account of God's revelation for us, and nothing is its equal. The fourth one is the abuser. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ, right? They make it about sexuality. They teach things that will help their status so then they can abuse people who are listening to them. The fifth one is the divider. Jude says this, "In the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit." They divide. There's so many people within the body of Christ that are more quick to divide than to reconcile. More quick to just say, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. It's too hard, rather than do the difficult work of forgiveness and of reconciliation. Six is the pleaser. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." If that is not prevalent in our society today, I do not know what is. There are so many people out there preaching what they think people want to hear, so for a number of different reasons. But there's so much false teaching out there that is not in accord with Scripture, but it's what people want to hear because it's what they feel, what they like, what they enjoy. And we have to be very careful because Jesus' way is the way of life. It's the way of freedom. And Satan's way is the way of death and destruction. It's the way of slavery. And Jesus wants to set us free. So don't accumulate for yourself just people that say things you want to hear. It's good to be convicted. It's good to be called out of the sinful life that we're living because we all in some ways engage in sin, and it's good and healthy to be called out of that and into life and into freedom. The seventh one is the speculator. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. In 1 Timothy 6:20-21, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted you. Avoid irrelevant babble and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. There are many people that leave Scripture behind and want to just come up with things that are new. They want to be seen as someone who has something clever to say, something brand new to say. And we've got to be very careful with speculation, especially when it's not in accord with Scripture. There are many false teachers. They are around. You'll find them in your own midst. As you're a part of this community, as you're part of communities in the future, you've got to be careful. Be careful who you lend your ear to, because we are easily deceived. And the results of this have been devastating. Now, here's the good news. There are a lot of different false teachers that we talked about and different ways that can be false. The good news is you don't need to worry about all the different false teaching if you fix your eyes on Jesus and focus on Jesus and his teachings. I think the Secret Service is a great example of this. I don't know if you know, but the Secret Service is part of the Treasury Department. They don't just guard the president, but they also like track down counterfeiters. That's half of the Secret Service does that. They work with money and crimes within counterfeiting. And what they do when they're training to spot counterfeit bills, they only train on the real thing. Like they're trained on the real $100 bill, and they know it backwards and forward, inside and out. Because when you know the real thing, what is counterfeit becomes as evident very quickly. It's the same way with us. Get to know Jesus. And we find Jesus, through his fruit, we see that he is the prophet. He's the authoritative teacher. When you see his character, when you see his life, his way is the narrow way. It's the way of love. And his character was flawless, full of love and compassion, kindness, humility, grace, purity, generosity. That's what Jesus was like. He's the ultimate example that we need to hold everybody up to. And it's not that we're perfect. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. But there's a difference between falling, between failing, between messing up and repenting and seeking to live a life that is in accordance with walking in Jesus' footsteps and living a life of deception. We've got to be careful. My encouragement is to get to know Jesus. And through him, view the entirety of the Scriptures. Through his lens, view all of the Scriptures. Don't just take out bits and pieces. Jesus is the ultimate example. And I imagine Jesus, as he's teaching the people, knowing this would be in Scripture, knowing that he was going to leave, I imagine him realizing, knowing there are going to be false prophets, there are going to be false teachers who are going to seek to lead people astray so that his children would be living in slavery, his children would be living in deception, his children would be living in destruction. And it broke his heart. And so he said, be careful, pay attention, beware. The people you lend your ear to will affect you. They will affect your life. Be careful. And we've got to be careful. I want to invite the band to come back and help us respond. And I want us to take a moment and just evaluate, how do you typically go into a movie? How do you typically go into a podcast? How do you typically go into a conversation? Do you have your filter up? Do you make sure that what you're learning, what you hear is in accordance with Scripture? Do you evaluate what I say and go make sure and test it? Because we've got to be careful with our hearts. And this is why Jesus commands us this. Beware, there will be false prophets. They will come to you like wolves in sheep's clothing, but you will recognize them by their fruit. So test their fruit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much that you gave us these words. Thank you for Jesus and the way that he spoke so powerfully and so beautifully for our good. I pray that you would be with us. You'd help us to filter well, that we'd be able to sift out the things that are not helpful, that are not good, that are not beneficial, that are harmful, that are enslaving, and that we would keep the good. Lord, I pray by the power of your Spirit, you'd help us to know. Lord, give us the courage to test. Lord, give us the patience to test, to go back to the Scriptures and evaluate what we're learning, to make sure that we're able to walk faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus, because it is the true way. And we ask these things in your beautiful name, Jesus.